You heard how it went down. Now time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
DiVincenzo, underhand pass to Giannis with the rim rocker. Giannis with the offensive rebound. He's got two defenders all
over.
What a pass. Passes over his shoulder to the wide open Grayson Allen, who bombs away. As the Bucks going to take this one wire to wire tonight, taking down the New York Knicks 123-108 into the late hours.
Now here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia. Yeah.
Eighth wire-to-wire win of the season for the Bucks, and the second of those against the New York Knicks. A taking care of business victory, although panic level was at midnight for times in this game. As in the first quarter and really first half of the second quarter, it looked like, okay, this is the exact type of performance this team needed. It doesn't appear as though the Knicks are going to offer any resistance. And then some hot shooting from the Knicks. And just a sluggish finish to the quarter. Up until that Pat Connaughton triple, you may have heard Coach Budenholzer asked about, the Bucks allowed the Knicks to get close, but never allowed them to tie the game or take the lead. And in the fourth quarter, they pull away. A couple of key figures in that. And what led to that fourth quarter dominance by the Bucks, we'll get into that in a moment. But the number to get in touch with us, if you're still up, 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. The Bucks dominated in the fourth quarter in this game, and to me that was the story of the game and why they ended up winning this game. 4-point lead at halftime, 5-point lead going into the fourth quarter. The Bucks have been close to unbeatable when leading after three quarters this season, but what they did specifically in the fourth quarter fueled this victory. They outscored the Knicks 30-20, but most importantly, 13 second chance points in the total game for the Bucks. 11 of those came in the fourth quarter, and they had a 71% rebounding rate in that quarter. They were getting manhandled on the glass in the first half. Second half, they grabbed 61% of the rebounds, including 71% in the fourth quarter. The work they did on the offensive and defensive glass, leading to those second chance points and some of those team efforts. You heard some of those comments, or may have heard some of those comments, from Coach Budenholzer in the post game. Just most impressed with what his team was able to do rebounding the basketball. It really swung the game. And as he said, it came down to individual pride. They threw more bodies on the glass, but it ultimately boiled down to, we got to do a better job cleaning up the glass, and that's what they did in the final 12 minutes. To me, that's the biggest reason why the Bucks outscored the Knicks by 10 in the quarter and ultimately 15 in the game for the 123-108 victory. Again, the number to get in touch with us, 855-616-1620, if you want to chime in on Bucks Talk. We asked this on Wednesday night, and we'll carry this through the weekend, and this is going to be a persistent question for the next 2 weeks, basically. What are you looking for from the Bucks at the trade deadline? If there's consistency, if there's an ability to trade for consistency, I think that's number one on the list. But when you look at this Bucks team, what is it they're missing most? I think we all know they miss Brook Lopez. Does that mean the piece they need to acquire is a big man, a bench scorer, whatever it is? What is that one thing the Bucks are missing? Because it's still pretty clear, as long as Giannis, Chris, and Drew are on the floor, chances are the Bucks are going to win. But you'd still like a little bit of help moving into the postseason. 855-616-1620, the number to get in touch with us on the program. More after this. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Bunchwood snakes his way down the lane, passes back out top to DiVincenzo. Underhand pass to Giannis with the rim rocker as he takes out all that frustration on the rim. And as the Bucks go out ahead by six now.
Giannis, a one-man force tonight, leading the Bucks to this victory over the New York Knicks here at Fiserv Forum. 123-108 final score. In the month of January, Giannis right now is averaging 32 points a game. He scored 380 points this month. The only players that have scored more are Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid. Embiid has played in 13 games. Jokic has played in 15 games. Now, Joel Embiid has really been the story of this month, but we've had this discussion on a couple of previous shows, the MVP race, and if you caught it on the pregame show earlier today, as of right now, Joel Embiid is the betting favorite to win the MVP award this season. That changed today. If you went to yesterday and Wednesday, Giannis and Nikola Jokic were the co-favorites to win the MVP award, but that changed after Joel Embiid did what he did last night in that win over the Lakers, and he continues to dominate. Two times this month that he has failed to score 30 points in 13 games that he's played in. He's averaging 34 points a game in the month of January. Giannis, as we mentioned, is at just over 31, also averaging 10.5 rebounds, averaging more assists a game than Joel Embiid in the month of January. They're both right there in line with the same amount of turnovers, steals, and blocks. It's just one more point a game that Joel Embiid is scoring, but his team has also won more games than Giannis's team. There's a very good chance Joel Embiid is going to be the player of the month in the Eastern Conference December and January. And what he's doing, he, Nikola Jokic, and Giannis have been the three best players in the league this season. Jokic has been even better this season than he was last year when he won the MVP award. And if that team gets healthy and they start to climb up the standings even more, that's going to add some more legitimacy to Nikola Jokic's MVP campaign. But Giannis is kind of the guy there that's just lingering right now, saying, don't forget about me. Continues to put up the dominant numbers. You just need more team wins. If the Bucks move into the top three spots, two spots, I mean, it's not all that much work when you look at a conference that right now is just separated basically by 2.5 games in the top half of the conference. But if the Bucks can get to second and they're in that range and Giannis continues to put up the numbers he's putting up, Giannis is going to get quite a few MVP votes. And maybe the problem is he and Joel Embiid will cancel each other out, or Giannis and Nikola Jokic would cancel each other out, because it does seem as though this is the type of season you reward with what Joel Embiid is doing. But at the very least, it makes the remaining matchups between the Bucks and the 76ers all the more compelling. We've gotten some classic showdowns between these two teams and between Giannis and Embiid in the past. Think back to St. Patrick's Day in this building a couple of years ago when Giannis went off for 50. Joel Embiid did the same thing, and the Sixers ultimately won a close game. Giannis's big moment in Philadelphia last year, where he hits the game-winning mid-range jumper and sits down at midcourt. We've had those moments all throughout the matchups, and what Embiid is doing so far this season makes it even more interesting. But now we're starting to get separation, that those are the three players that have been the best for the entire season in this league. Steph Curry's still been very good. Steph Curry's had some downs. And really, ever since setting the three-point record, we've seen some of the shooting splits go down a little bit for Steph Curry. His team is still very good. Can't undersell Chris Paul either. And you do wonder if Phoenix continues to do what they're doing here, if he's going to jump into that conversation. But these three guys, three big men, and for all intents and purposes, three centers, leading the conversation right now for the MVP award. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line to get in touch with us tonight on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. A question that we asked, and when we threw this out there on Wednesday, weren't a lot of specific names that came up. Miles Turner was mentioned a couple of times, and look, Miles Turner isn't coming to Milwaukee. The Bucks don't have the assets to bring in Miles Turner. You have to look at the financial aspect as well with what Miles Turner is making and what the contracts on the Bucks are, not only in terms of what you can ship out and what you're bringing back, but just how expensive that team gets. When you look at what Chris is making, what Giannis is making, what Drew is making, Bobby Portis is in line for a big pay raise in the offseason. Pat Connaughton is in the same boat where he can become a free agent and is in line for a big pay raise. So they're already into the luxury tax, and it's only going to get more expensive. When you look at the roster construction and the contracts on the team, if you're looking for additions at the trade deadline, you need to temper your expectations. Just in terms of what it is the Bucks can send out there. Remember, salary's got to match within 120%. So if you're trading a $6 million contract, you're basically bringing back $5 million or $7 million in contract value is what we're looking at here. Miles Turner isn't coming to Milwaukee. Robin Lopez could potentially come here. That is something that would fit under those constructs, whether it's in a trade or in the buyout market. But the consensus on Wednesday was the Bucks need another big man. And it's easy to watch tonight. Those numbers we went over at the top of the show, the rebounding issues that the Bucks ran into early in this game. First quarter, you looked at some of these numbers and said, this can't be real. I got to be missing something here. Knicks basically got 60% of the rebounds in the opening quarter. Through the first half, the Knicks were at almost 70% of the rebounds and just dominated the offensive glass as well. It started to change a little bit in the third, but it really swung in the fourth quarter. We've had a handful of games like this. Cleveland was certainly one of them, where rebounding and points in the paint, two things that the Bucks have dominated in the past, they've been dominated in. So maybe you point to that and say, look, it would be great to have another center. It's also got to be a center that fits the mold here and fits what they do. So this is going to be an interesting trade deadline, and it's now 13 days away, not just for the Bucks, but a handful of teams out there in the NBA. Number one, how many teams are going to be sellers with the advent here of the play-in tournament, and especially in that Eastern Conference where we just said 1 through 6 is separated by 2.5 games. 1 through 7 is 4.5 games. In the Western Conference, 1 through 4 is separated by 10 games. The Indiana Pacers are 13th in the Eastern Conference. They're 14.5 games back. A 14.5 game gap is basically describing 1 through 7 in the West. And that's 1 through 13 in the Eastern Conference. So you look at that and you say the Pistons, the Magic, the Pacers at this point are really in no man's land. They're 6 games out of the playoffs, and that's the play-in tournament. It's not even technically the playoffs. They're 6 games back of that. They're 8 games back of the Magic for the worst record in basketball. So the Pacers are probably going to be waving the white flag. That's 3 teams you can point to in the East and say, these teams are done. They're not going to the playoffs. They might as well start selling off assets now. Pacers, Pistons, and Magic. In the West, it's really not as easy. It's pretty much the Rockets and the Thunder. Maybe the Kings are going to be in there. Maybe the Spurs opt to do it. But there's not a whole lot of sellers, so that complicates the trade market even more. When we return, a couple other things to get to here on tonight's show. The bench numbers. I mentioned some of those issues that the bench has had. Now, you saw some sparks from the second unit tonight, but still, where have the biggest problems come from with the Bucks' second unit? We'll dive into some of those numbers. And in case you missed it, some eye-popping numbers revolving around Giannis, Chris, and Drew. Not only the success when that trio plays, but when they each score 20 or more points. We'll get into that next on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Welcome back to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Giannis with the offensive rebound. He's got two defenders all
what
over.
What a pass.
Passes over his shoulder to the wide open Grayson Allen, who bombs away and drills the three. A little more showtime from the Greek Freak, this time on the passing end of a beautiful play.
Cannot hear that highlight enough. A no-look, over-the-shoulder, two-handed chuck, basically, to Grayson Allen, where Giannis has made a handful of plays similar to that this season. We saw one very similar to that, not necessarily no-look and two-handed, but he's taken a page out of Drew Holiday's book with the left-handed just fire and rifle into the corner. We've seen that over and over. But when you watch that highlight again on the feed to Grayson Allen, I mean, you can't help but think Giannis is just saying, I'm assuming Grayson Allen is there, and if not, oh well. But it connects, and once you saw that pass, the first thing that went through your mind was, Grayson Allen better hit this shot because that does not complete the highlight. It's a great pass, but if the shot doesn't go through and Giannis doesn't get an assist, not as many people remember that pass. So Grayson Allen needed to do his part and hit the shot, and he did to give us a highlight for the ages on that Giannis feed on that corner, not corner three, but that wing three-pointer by Grayson Allen. Bucks beat the Knicks for their eighth wire-to-wire victory this season, and again, it's the second time they've done it to the New York Knicks. Third wire-to-wire win in the month of January. The Bucks do get back to 500 here at 7-7 this season. And a big reason why the Eastern Conference remains so tightly compressed right now is the Bucks have gone 7-7 in January. The Cleveland Cavaliers and Philadelphia 76ers, two teams that continue to rise in the standings, they've each gone 10-3 in the month of January. You got the Bucks basically at 500 here in this month, and you have those other teams that are starting to really come on strong. If we look at the top of the East here, the Bulls are 7-7 in January. 7-8 now with tonight's loss, actually. The Bucks are 7-7. The Brooklyn Nets are 6-9. The Heat are now 9-4. But it's been the Cavs and the 76ers, 10-3 each in this month. Charlotte Hornets and Celtics are playing well in this month, too. So that's why you continue to have all of these teams bunched up. We have basically six teams locked near the top. Heat leading the conference. Bulls, Cavs, Bucks, Nets, Sixers, all separated by two games. And you got the Hornets continuing to linger at 4.5 games back. Wizards, Raptors, and Celtics, there's not really separation so much, because those teams continue to play very, very well in the month. The Bucks bench talked about some of the issues we've seen from this second unit on the pregame show. And just for comparison's sake, last year, the Bucks second unit averaged basically 35 points a game. It was 19th in the league, and we've talked about this repeatedly on the show. You don't necessarily want to be the top-scoring bench team in the league. You just don't want to be in the bottom 10. And especially in the bottom five. Like, you want to be in the upper half. Bucks were basically 10th in field goal percentage from their bench. They shot 46% from players on the second unit. 41% on threes, which was second best in the league. And they were in the middle of the pack for turnovers. The only thing that's remained constant for the Bucks this season is field goal attempts and turnovers from the second unit. 5.3 last year, 5.3 this year. 15th last year in that category, 20th this year. They took 28 field goal attempts from the bench last year. They're taking basically 25 this year, so three fewer shots from that second unit, which seems like it should be a lot less when you consider Bobby Portis has basically been a full-time starter this year. Pat Connaughton has been an on-and-off starter. Grayson Allen has been in and out there. A handful of these players. Wesley Matthews has had to start at times. We've seen so many different looks to that second unit, and the offensive production just hasn't been there. 35 points a game the average last year, 27 this year. That number's going to continue to drop after tonight's performance. Another game where that Bucks second unit fails to get or barely gets to 20 points, 21 tonight. But they're 39% on their field goals. That is last in the NBA. 39% bench shooting and 33% on three-pointers, again, in the bottom 10. So that has really hurt the consistency that we said this team continues to strive for. It's tough to build up that consistency when you don't know what to expect from the second unit. Part of that is some drop-off individually, but a lot of that has to do with COVID, with health and safety protocols, with the injuries, and with just not knowing game to game and day to day who's going to be starting and coming off the bench, especially in November when that was really at its peak. So as this team starts to field some more games where you get that consistency and know what to expect of this is our starting five for the foreseeable future. I would anticipate some of those bench numbers will continue to rise. Again, the Bucks are never going to lead the NBA, at least under this construct of the team. They're never going to be the NBA leaders for bench scoring, and you don't want them to be. If you got a high-scoring bench, it means your starters aren't necessarily the greatest, but you do want to get more than 21 points, 15 points, 5 points most recently, 10 points. You want to get 30 points at least from your second unit. They consistently got that last year and the year before. It's evaded them this year for a number of reasons. 855-616-1620 is the number to get in touch with us. Still some time left on the program. When we return, those numbers we mentioned, Giannis, Chris, and Drew, 20-plus from each of those players tonight. Just how good are the Bucks when that happens? We'll fill you in after this. It's Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Stick around. Bucks Talk continues next. Presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. By Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Holiday dribbles between his legs, now behind his back. 146 to go now in the fourth. 116-105 Milwaukee. Giannis trying to salt it away. Head fake, steps inside the arc and pulls up and delivers a beauty on an 18-footer.
Two of the 38 points scored by Giannis tonight, 38 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists. It's the 13th time that Giannis has had 30 or more points and 10 or more rebounds this season. That is the most in the NBA. Joel Embiid, there's that name again. He is next in line with 11. Nikola Jokic has done it double-figure times as well. So again, those are the three players that consistency has been there. And they have been the best players in the league. Chris Paul should be in that conversation as well. But Giannis, Nikola Jokic, and Joel Embiid have been the three most dominant players in the league this season. And that number certainly backs that up. 38-13-5 tonight from Giannis. But you got 24 from Drew Holiday, who hit 4 threes, all of them in the first half. Drew missed his last 5 threes in this game after starting 4-for-4. But 24 points and 10 assists from Drew Holiday, by the way. 20 points from Chris Middleton. 7 of 18 from the floor, 1 of 7 on his threes. Drew, you take out the three-point shooting, 4 of 6 from the floor. And 7 boards and 4 assists as well from Chris. So this was the third time this season. Giannis, Chris, and Drew each scored 20 or more points. Bucks are 3-0 in those games. They did it 3 times in the playoffs last year. Bucks went 3-0 in those games. And they did it 10 times last year. Just 5-5 in those 10 games. So all told, the Bucks right now are 11-5 in the 16 games that Giannis, Chris, and Drew Holiday have scored 20 points or more each. But 3-0 this season, it speaks to that other big number that keeps floating out there, 19-4, when Giannis, Chris, and Drew play. So, look, the consistency hasn't been there. But that's what you point to and say, yeah, but when those three guys play, the Bucks typically win. They've won 19 out of 23 games this year. The net rating, maybe not quite as good as it was a season ago, but they're still winning those games. And look, we've talked about this a couple of times. The biggest thing that stands out to me is the Bucks' record against those teams in the middle of the pack. They're still really good against the best teams in the league. They still beat up, with the exception of one Pistons game, they still beat up on the worst teams in the league. It's just those teams that are in the middle of the pack that are basically in that play-in tournament range or just in the 5 or 6 spots or just outside of it. Those are the teams the Bucks have struggled with, and I think it's pretty simple to see why. There's not as many easy wins on the schedule this year, especially in the Eastern Conference. You have a couple of really bad teams, and the Pacers have surprisingly been a really bad team, but you got a lot of teams that are good, that are maybe frisky in the playoffs, not necessarily contenders, but good. The Bulls weren't in that category last year. Think about the standings in the East and what it looks like. Hornets were pesky last year. Celtics were pesky. Raptors are better than they were a season ago. Wizards have been more consistent. Hawks, not as much consistency, but they're still one of those teams that they're down there in the standing, same with the Knicks, but it's not a guaranteed win. There's fewer and fewer of those, the Cavs. That, I mean, that's the biggest turnaround. There's fewer of those easy wins on the schedule. And to me, that's what's really caught the Bucks with those struggles. I believe now 9-16 against those teams in that range. They were above 500 barely in those games last year, 14-12, and now 9-16 in that range this season. So the fact that there's fewer easy wins where you can't just show up and win the game, that's been the issue that has really struck the Bucks this season, especially when they're dealing with those consistency issues of their own and those bench issues and starters and COVID protocols and just players missed to injured games. All of that comes together and converges and speaks to that 9-17 or 16 record against those teams. When we return, we'll preview game two of this three-game homestand. Nikola Jokic, the aforementioned Nikola Jokic, and his Denver Nuggets come to town on Sunday night. We'll tell you what you need to know about that matchup after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
All right, the Bucks beat the Knicks here. Another wire-to-wire victory. Their eighth of the season. Giannis with the 38 points. The ridiculous highlight on that behind-the-back or over-the-shoulder no-look feed to Grayson Allen for the three. And he, Chris, and Drew, not only are the Bucks really good when they play, also they're really good when they each score 20 or more, unbeaten this season when that happens. Up next for the Bucks, Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets come to town on Sunday night. It is a Denver team that, led by Jokic, who, again, is in that conversation with Joel Embiid and Giannis. But in this month of January, Jokic had 27 points, 10 boards, 9 assists, and he's got 6 triple-doubles in the month, including tonight. He continues to dominate, so it should be a fun matchup on Sunday night. It's a 6 o'clock game. The Bucks and the Nuggets here at Fiserv Forum, and potentially an MVP caliber showdown. We will see the last two players to win the MVP award going at it, we hope, we think, with Giannis and Nikola Jokic on the floor Sunday night. But that's what's up next for the Bucks, a Denver Nuggets team that enters the game at 28-21 on the season, 6th in the Western Conference, despite the injury issues that they've had as well. 6 o'clock on Sunday, our next broadcast. My thanks to Max and Evan for producing the show and all of you for hanging out for the last hour. You've been listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.